Do you have a tag?
I have two.
Okay. You know I love a choose your own adventure.
So I was gonna do Welcome to Maintenance Phase, the podcast that erects a totem to the scrotum, but that seems like too kind of like fun and freewheeling for this fucking movie. So then I was like, I should just go the direct route and be like, Welcome to Maintenance Phase, the podcast where Mike and Aubrey watch fascist propaganda. I honestly, like, I was expecting this to be like problematic and bad, but like the extent to which this is like very straightforwardly fascist propaganda was like genuinely shocking to me.
They're like, this is a documentary about men's health. And then they talk to one healthcare provider and like 20 fucking Twitter dudes.
I know. Everyone's from fucking Twitter. That's right. It's like people would introduce themselves. They're like, my name is whatever. My handle on Twitter is meh.
Yeah.
They're like, why do I need to know this?
William Wheelwright.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that is a reference to something problematic, but like I've read too much about fucking sperm count at this point to like Google it.
William Wheelwright has to be a fucking character in the Turner Diaries, no?
So I guess to give a bit of background to listeners,
boy, oh boy.
I'm Michael Hobbs and you're Aubrey Grin. Today we are talking about The End of Men, which is a kind of now infamous documentary on Tucker Carlson's Fox News, like a documentary series.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
So it opens with a quote from JFK talking about how like we've lost our greatness as a nation. And then like a weird, like fat phobic quote where he's like, the worst thing to see
is like a soft, chubby, fat child.
It's like, okay, yes. I don't know.
All of this is happening. This opening sequence, you get this JFK quote and then you get a bunch of smash cut footage of
this is
what it looks like to be a failed man.
Oh, I know. And then with the headless fat people, of course.
A bunch of headless fat people, a shirtless, very fat dude playing video games in bed.
Yeah, fuck them for using this.
Close-ups on quote-unquote man boobs.
Yeah.
Neat. Now we're in the freak show part of
this.
Yeah. Fun.
The first voice we hear in the movie was fucking RFK Jr., which I just about had like a stroke operate when I heard
this. When you were like, hey, maybe we should both watch it, I was like, maybe we should, Mike.
Yeah.
Maybe we both should watch it.
Although I'm glad that this didn't, there was one reference to vitamin D and I was like, okay, they're not going to do it. They're not going to ruin it. They're not going to ruin it for Aubrey. I was waiting for spoilers.
God, how many fucking months am I going to not Google vitamin D truther?
Numerous months. I haven't Googled JonBenet Ramsey for like 4 years now. So if I have to suffer, you have to suffer too.
Wait, why haven't you Googled JonBenet Ramsey?
Because Sarah was going to do a You're Wrong About episode about it and then it just became a habit.
Did you just not know what fucking happened with JonBenet Ramsey?
I genuinely don't. I have not followed
shit.
It since it happened. So I refuse to open that Wikipedia page.
Oh, you don't even know about the Thailand
guy. Don't spoil that might happen. Don't spoil it.
Okay.
So we then get this voiceover of RFK Jr. just goes straight into it. He says, there's been a 50% decline in sperm count over the last 40 years. And he says, a precipitous decline in testosterone production.
Yes.
To the extent that there is like any scientific basis for this, like this is kind of the heart of the documentary, is that like, oh my God, sperm counts are falling and like testosterone is falling.
Those two things, by the way, are true.
Kind of. Yes.
So like, there have been declines as best as we can tell in testosterone in many countries. This documentary wants you to believe that that is worldwide, but then it offers you a bunch of explanations that are very specifically US-based.
Yeah, and then I looked into this a little bit. Like, testosterone production is actually relatively difficult to measure because it actually fluctuates quite dramatically, like, day to day and over your lifetime. And so it's actually kind of hard to get a good baseline because, like, if you go to the gym, you'll have, like, higher production of testosterone for, like, 2 hours afterwards. It's kind of complicated, but yeah, like you said, my understanding is that, like, based on the data that we have, testosterone is actually falling in the population.
Yes. But then what this documentary does is go, testosterone production is falling. Ergo, men are less manly.
Yeah.
As if the behaviors that we have assigned to men are down to their testosterone levels and have nothing to do with socialization.
Men have always like varied on these things. And so there are men who just naturally have less testosterone than other men. And there's no real way that they would even really know that. But like that doesn't mean that they're like less manly in any specific way. Like they can still, like, I don't know, build an IKEA desk or like whatever we're defining masculinity as. I cannot do that, so maybe I'm not a man.
I love that your test for masculinity is, can you assemble a Billy bookcase?
I'm just thinking of like man shit that I can't do, which is honestly most of the man shit.
Change a tire?
Yeah, most 100% cannot do that. Anything involving a car, I cannot do.
Yeah.
But then I dove a bit more into RFK's thing about sperm counts falling. There was a meta-analysis in 2017 that did find like sperm counts have fallen by about 50% since the 1970s. They do this weird thing where they split countries into Western and other.
Whoa.
And they say that like this has only happened in Western countries, however we're defining that. But basically the data from all of the quote other countries is just like total garbage. It's based on like 15 people from like Uganda or whatever. Like I read a really good breakdown of it, but like they do find there's semi-decent data from quote unquote Western countries. And there has been this 50% decline. Although it's not actually clear that that's true, basically because within the meta-analysis of all these existing studies, some studies find the drop and some studies don't. And also, over the last 50 years, there's way better methods for measuring sperm count, right? If we're talking about the 1970s, it was really hard to get accurate sperm counts back then. So apparently they have something now called flow cytometry, which is like a way of counting individual sperm, which was not available in the 1970s. So some of this might simply be that like we have more accurate methods of counting sperm now. And it turns out that kind of all along, we didn't know like what the sperm counts were all that well. Sperm count also fluctuates like day to day, hour by hour. Yeah. None of this like totally invalidates all of these measures, but it's just like sperm count is not like a fixed thing in the way that like you might think it is. Like I have 60 sperm today and 61 tomorrow and 59 the next day. It's like it's really all over the place. And another thing they mention in this like debunking of the meta-analysis is that there's a very wide range for like normal sperm counts. It's something like 15 million sperm per liter to like 250 million sperm per liter. So like 15 to 250, that's a huge range.
Yeah.
In the data that we have, it's gone from 99 to 50. So that's a 50% fall. But as they point out in this like debunking study, it's like it's gone from normal to normal. And there's no reason to think that that would affect fertility. Like you can actually have very low sperm count and have like totally normal fertility. And you can have very high sperm count and have other reasons why you have difficulty impregnating somebody.
Yeah.
So this whole thing of like, what do these numbers mean? Do they mean that like fertility rates are dropping or like men can't even have babies anymore? Or like, we don't get in bar fights like we used to, or all this other weird manly shit. It isn't even clear that this is a phenomenon. And then it isn't clear that to the extent this is a phenomenon, it means anything about like manliness.
Yeah, totally. It really feels like the way to get at this fertility stuff would be to study fucking fertility.
Yeah. And like there are numerous studies of fertility rates and like fertility rates have fallen in like the quote unquote Western world, but that's almost entirely due to like lifestyle stuff. And like people are working later, people are in college and paying off student debt before they're sort of ready to raise kids. Childcare in the United States is really expensive. It's like people are choosing not to have kids.
Like the conclusion that they want for you to draw from all of this talk is that at a population level, our sort of collective like sperm counts and testosterone levels are collectively declining. There's half as much testosterone in this country as there used to be, and that's why there are like male feminists and gay people.
Men cry at movies now.
Oh,
and it's because like the semen doesn't have little black dots in it anymore.
So
then we get to Tucker Carlson's first little monologue. Like this is the first time that we see Tucker Carlson in this. And I was going to have us watch it together because us describing this cannot capture for you like the derangement.
Michael, I'll tell you what. I've now watched this thing 3 times.
Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously?
Yeah. Twice for Soy Boys and then one more as a refresher. My God. And this last time I was like, I'm not doing this without an edible.
Did that make it better or worse?
Both. But I stand by that decision. After an edible, that raw egg nationalist monologue is the funniest shit you've ever heard in your life.
Okay, I sent you the clip.
2:15 is where I'm queued up to.
Do you need to eat an edible before we watch this?
No, I don't.
They kick in immediately, is my understanding.
Civilization is like a woman wooed. She's won by the love of the strong man and lost by the impotence of the weak one. The Greeks called this anacyclosis, the life cycle of any society. In a golden age, heroic leaders pursued transcendent goals, something bigger than themselves. They overcome challenge after challenge, and then they win. Then, surrounded by the wealth and the comfort they have won, they lose their life force. They become confused and isolated. They lose faith in themselves, and the civilization they've created begins to decline. Author C.S. Lewis warned of a West that one day would be filled with what he called men without chests. And we see that prophecy coming true today. We call them, less poetically, man boobs. They're a physical manifestation of something bigger. The decline of manhood, of virility, of physical health. All of which together threaten to doom our civilization.
What?
Testosterone levels in American men are declining by about 10% per decade, 1% a year. Sperm counts have plummeted 50% in the last 40 years. If that trend continues, we won't simply be weaker than our grandfathers. We won't have grandchildren of our own. Civilizational decline is not inevitable. We don't have to be the spectators of our own defeat. We choose this road, not just for ourselves, but for our children. So we have a responsibility to enter into the arena and make America healthy again. We just need the motivation.
Oh, we're not going to the boys' fitness boot camp?
Yeah, and then there's the weird sequence with the football coach.
It's so weird.
Which I don't understand at all remotely. It's just like kind of time filler.
There's one thing that happens next where we talk to this like coach who runs a boys' fitness program who says, and I quote, "We have generations of young people now that they don't even know."
I wrote this down too. I wrote this down too. He goes, "We have a generation of kids who doesn't know how to walk." Literally, I'm not exaggerating. It's like, no, you're very much exaggerating.
When you add, "I'm not exaggerating," and also, "I know children."
It's the weirdest fucking thing.
It's also fascinating because he's not like they're disabled. He's like, they don't know how.
Yeah, they don't know how. And then, of course, this is all over footage of like high schoolers like doing football practice.
Yes.
Like, they seem fine. I don't know.
They don't know how to walk. They only know how to tackle.
But then what do you think of Tucker's like deranged monologue?
I'll tell you a secret, which is I pressed play on it again last night.
Oh yeah.
And got to "civilization is like a woman wooed," and I was like, hang on, pause. Go get an edible.
That's what did it.
Watching this sober twice is enough times.
The only thing that got me through it was like alt tabbing to like Google Scholar every like 15 seconds. I can't take it than like a couple minutes at a time.
The thing that I kept thinking about this is like, this is a style of production for Fox News where they're like, have a voiceover say something in an urgent, alarming tone while you cut through a bunch of B-roll that is designed to alarm your audience. And I was just like, my fucking hypothalamus is going bananas right now.
This is also what I mean by the kind of fascism of it is that he has this like very quick cuts of like boys on like jungle gyms.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt. He has like Joe Biden again falling down the stairs. This is like the third time they play this clip. And then he makes this kind of subtle, not subtle reference of like, we need to make America healthy again.
Yeah.
When he's talking about like the degeneracy of modern man, he has a clip of like what appears to be like a YouTuber who's like a guy doing a makeup tutorial.
Uh-huh.
It's this way of like dangling these like jingling keys in front of you, but not actually defending your argument, right? Like, why does it threaten you if men do makeup tutorials?
Genuinely, why do you give a shit?
Like, if you're a man and you're strong, you should, you can just be like, well, that doesn't affect anybody. It's not really my bag, but like, have fun doesn't affect me in any negative way, right? That, like, that to me seems like the masculine response to those things.
Yeah, totally. They also have similarly footage of like riot cops busting through a protest. And I'm like, the protesters are not manly. The cops are manly. Like, what's the message here? Like, I understand what side you are on.
Totally.
With all of this, but I don't understand what point you're making. I would say similarly, in that monologue from Tucker, he talks about, like, the Greeks call it this, and it's the life cycle of any society.
Whatever. Sure.
It sounds like the societal version of, like, what is it? Forming, norming, storming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just sounds like, oh, this is just, like, a thing that you go through. And then, like, new stuff emerges, and that's how it works. Right. And then the whole rest of the thing is like, that's why we have to stop it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You didn't really explain what the stopping it looks like, and if there are examples of stopping it.
Right.
He's just, like, blowing through a bunch of things where he'll, like, say something about testosterone and then say something about society.
Yeah.
He's really counting on his audience to fill in blanks.
Yeah.
And to carry forward a feeling, but not a set of facts, right?
Right.
He's not actually planting a narrative for folks. The idea is just like, you are alarmed. You are right to feel alarmed.
Yeah.
Won't somebody think of the men?
Finally.
Thank God.
So then we have this, honestly, like, bizarre sequence with the football coach talking about how, like, nobody does exercise anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's so obvious to point this out, but it's like this football coach is talking about how there's some random high school in California that used to be like a paragon of exercise and now they don't do it anymore or something. It's not, the facts are not laid out clearly.
No.
But then what I kept thinking this whole sequence was like, well, which forces in society are behind the fact that we don't have as much PE in schools as we used to?
Bing, 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 bing,
is that
bing.
The feminists and the SJWs, or is that like conservatives? Like, the coalition of people who Tucker Carlson represents are the ones who want to cut funding for schools ruthlessly.
Yeah.
And even mentions cuts. He's like, nobody wants to pay for it. It's like, well, yeah.
Who doesn't want to pay for shit, my dude?
Right? Me and Peter just did a episode tangentially related to fascism. And it's like, this is the thing with fascism, is that it's not ideologically coherent, right? It's not like Tucker Carlson actually has like a principled view that like we should spend more on education.
He's got this grievance that like PE isn't happening as much anymore, I guess. But he also has another grievance with teachers unions. Like, buddy, the thing you need to pay for is the people to teach it.
But also there's also something funny with this documentary where I really fucking hated this, Aubrey. The documentary sections of this special are like really good. Like, they're very attractive visually. And there's a lot of like slow-mo shots and these kind of montages. And I think they're very like skillfully cut together as like a form of propaganda. Like, I think this stuff is very effective.
Yeah.
And it really has the aesthetics of like a prestige documentary, right? But the actual content in it is like centimeter deep.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing about like, well, why don't we have as much PE in schools anymore? And like, is that actually true? Is that all schools, or is there like an inequality there? There's no actual journalistic or like investigation going on. It's purely the aesthetics of journalism.
There are these absolutely bizarre but totally visually sort of arresting shots of like the testicle tanning dude.
Yeah.
Who's like fully naked, standing in front of like a pillar that emits red light. So the whole rest of his body is lit up with red light.
I thought that whole sequence was really striking, but maybe that's because it's all just like shirtless men.
Yeah, I was like, I think this might be
real sophisticated stuff.
This documentary is actually quite good.
These are all men who would like murder me in the streets if they
knew that absolutely. No question. But like, I think it has moments of being beautifully shot and then moments of being like fucking a heap of garbage.
Oh, yeah.
The moments that I think look like heaps of garbage are all the fucking montages that they put in.
Yeah,
Teddy Roosevelt, Joe Biden, man boobs, gay person, question mark, top surgery scars. Like, okay.
I think the trick is to cut them together so quickly that by the time you realize what you're looking at, you've moved on to the next thing.
Right? Like, it's all just sort of visual suggestion, right? Is like all of these things are down to testosterone levels / sperm counts.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's like visual suggestion.
Like, they're sort of implying throughout this that Biden must have a really low sperm count. And then they just segue into talking to some personal trainer.
Dude, that was the funniest shit. They're like, they have this whole voiceover and then they cut to the guy who's speaking, and it's like whatever his name is, and then his title is fitness professional.
Yeah, there we go.
So it's basically just some random guy.
Well, and at the risk of spoiling it, that is the entire rest of the documentary is like, here's this random guy and one lady one time. We will meet one doctor and everyone else is from Twitter.
Yeah. We're going to be nostalgic for the fitness professional in about like 10 minutes. We're like, take me back to the random personal trainer.
Why can't I get the fucked up JFK quotes again?
But then weren't you going to talk about this like chemicals section? There's another little thing with RFK Jr. where he talks about like Monsanto and a bunch of like just kind of like stuff. And they throw in this like lady and like the PFAS stuff.
Yes. So one of the things that they say in the documentary is, quote, Dr. Linda Birnbaum, former head of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, was banned from saying chemical contaminants in the environment, called PFAS, were responsible for a staggering increase in serious diseases, including cancers. They flash on screen a headline from The Intercept.
It's funny for Fox News to be like, our good friends at The Intercept.
So I looked up that actual piece on The Intercept. Mm-hmm. Essentially what they're describing in this piece is that PFAS has been linked to like hundreds of bad news things.
Right.
It is something that has been delivered to many of us through Teflon coating in nonstick pans, right? So it's been in a lot of things. When you read the article, it's basically like every time this lady said there was a causal relationship between the two, between PFAS and X, Y, and Z health outcomes, she would get an earful from people in industries using those chemicals and politicians who were sort of beholden to those industries. Mm-hmm. Quote, Birnbaum has been targeted by the chemical industry and politicians beholden to it on several occasions during her nearly 40-year career as a federal scientist, which included 19 years at the Environmental Protection Agency. In 2012, Republicans on the House Science Committee went after Birnbaum for writing that endocrine-disrupting chemicals in the environment were responsible for, quote, a staggering increase in several diseases.
Mm.
So, like, you go to the article that's being cited by Tucker Carlson on Fox News. His whole argument is like the government is colluding with industry.
Yeah.
And then you pop the hood and you're like, who in government? Oh, it's Republicans?
Yeah, cool. So you're the
problem that you're freaking out about? Fun.
That's also the thing with these documentaries is that they just sort of hint at these like government conspiracies. But again, because they're not doing any real journalism, they're not giving you any overall context for like how this actually happened. And like, yeah, my understanding is there's still questions about like sort of how PFAS works. And like, there's some sort of EU review going on right now. And like,
we
don't want to get over our skis on sort of how this happened or whatever, but it's like, these things have happened before. Like fucking lead was in gasoline for like decades.
Yeah.
But like,
yes,
for this, it's just like, he's taking this like nugget of something that is true and just like bashing ideology with it.
The lead in to the Birnbaum section is a voiceover from Tucker Carlson that I think contains a thesis of this documentary.
We're an ideas podcast. We're really digging into his ideas.
He says, quote, a study published in Obesity Research and Practice found that people today who eat and exercise the same amount as people 30 years ago are still fatter.
Right.
How is this possible? The answer is simple. Chemical and pharmaceutical companies are poisoning us, our environment, our water, our food, our air, and they're doing it with the government's help. Then they go into this whole Birnbaum thing and you read the Birnbaum piece and they're like, yeah, it's Republicans.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, Tucker, the answer is simple. It's a massive conspiracy and I'm at the center of it.
So, I have another clip for you, but I sort of forgot where this is. So it might be repeating what you just said, but this is Tucker's next monologue and it leads into what I thought was like the funniest thing in this entire documentary.
If America's establishment wants to regain the trust of the country,
I love the terrible edit.
It has to do something real to fight this country's most serious health crises, and that begins with the terrifying drop in testosterone levels and sperm counts. But in the rest of the country, there's a growing movement of Americans who are looking affirmatively for ways to get healthy, to balance their hormones, to regain their fertility. Effectively, they're experimenting on themselves, and they're sharing the results online. They call themselves bro scientists, half-jokingly.
Bro scientists.
We met some of them at a ranch outside of Austin, Texas, to see what they're doing.
Bro science, to me, is based on actual published studies, but a lot of it is self-experimentation.
You know, there are very few, if any, peer-reviewed double-blind studies to answer the kind of questions that most bros want to know. So instead, we just have to rely on our own experience.
So, okay, my favorite thing, and this is like so nitpicky, but you know what? I'm not going to be fair to this fucking movie.
No, we don't need to be.
The guy that he's interviewing says, it's hard to know these exercise techniques because there's so few peer-reviewed double-blind studies. You cannot do a double-blind study of exercise.
Yeah.
The whole thing of a double-blind study is like there's a vaccine, it's like a clear liquid, and you don't know whether it's a vaccine or a placebo, and the person giving it to you also does not know whether it's a vaccine or a placebo. You can't do that if you know that you're doing push-ups or not doing push-ups.
Well, and he does this thing where he's like, to me, bro science is based on real scientific research, but also self-experimentation, where you're like, that's not.
This is something we talk about on the show all the time. It's like, we're not trying to shit on any researchers, but these issues of like diet and exercise are very difficult to study.
Yeah.
It just means that a lot of the claims in this space are based on these like before and after things of like, I did 100 pushups a day and now I have like bigger boobs. Great. It's funny to me the way that these terms of like peer reviewed double blind studies have kind of taken over the culture, and they're that's what you say when you want to talk about like a good study.
Yeah, double blind RCT.
Yeah. But like these terms have specific meanings.
You get to nitpick that way when we're 17 minutes into this 34-minute documentary, and the only people we're going to see from here on out are like right-wing Twitter bros being like, I read a study.
Yeah, I paused it on like right where we ended, and this is where we begin the interview with Mike Cernovich.
I would have said at the Mike Cernovich point of this documentary that I struggle to think of someone with more odious politics. And then they give us raw egg nationalists.
Yeah, I know. You've outdone yourself, Tucker.
You've really outdone yourself. Absolutely.
I went to Mike Cernovich's Twitter feed to see like what he's talking about. And one of his like top tweets was him talking shit about Bill Maher. Don't make me agree with Mike Cernovich. The first first thing I learned about this fucking guy.
Jesus Christ.
Then we get to the bro science section. And do we want to watch the monologue, or do you want to speak it into words? What do you want to do?
Let's watch it.
Okay.
If the bro scientists have a spiritual leader, it would be a man who calls himself raw egg nationalist. Here's his message.
The enemy today is what I like to call soy globalism. The globalist aim is to destroy nations and local communities. And they do this by isolating communities and sickening them through food, and also through so-called medicine, and all the dreadful chemicals we're exposed to on a daily basis. The globalists want you to be fat, sick, depressed, and isolated. The better to control you and to milk you for as much economic value as they can before they kill you. That's soy globalism in a nutshell. Own nothing, live in the pod, eat the soy. The best response to this is a strong politics of nationalism. The nation is only as strong as the individuals who make it up, and that's where raw eggs come in. Eggs are a superfood, packed with protein, fats, vitamins, minerals, and anabolic cholesterol. The absolute opposite of the disgusting rubbish that the globalists want you to eat. Eggs are cheap. You can't patent an egg. By making the individual strong, you make the nation strong.
My first response to that was, I love how shitty the editing is. Like how choppy it sounds. As an audio editor, I'm like, come on, man. You can't spring for like a Reaper license.
I went back over this in my repeated viewings. I would like rewind and watch this again.
Yeah, it's like the middle section of 1984 where he like lays it all out.
Like, first of all, who the fuck are soy globalists?
You know who the soy globalists are, Aubrey.
No, you do. And like, that's what he's counting on, right?
You know.
There's like, it's like countless sort of undefined terms with like a wink, right? And there are these weird segues from like, that's why, like, the best response to soy globalism is a strong politics of nationalism?
No.
Like, why? No. Tucker Carlson just told us the government is in collusion with chemical companies.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would a strong politics of nationalism interrupt that?
Exactly.
And then he's like, the egg is a perfect food. And I'm like, how the fuck did we get to the egg is a perfect food?
Yeah.
And like, what point are you making with you can't patent an egg? Give Monsanto like 10 minutes. I'm sure they can.
Well, also, I there's also this weird thing where they want to repackage all of their individual behavior as if it's implementing their values, right? So it's not enough to just eat fucking eggs, which are like readily available to the entire population and like very widely consumed. No, no. Eating eggs is pushing back against the globalists.
Yeah.
No like, one fucking cares what? If you eat eggs. Eat eggs. Don't eat eggs. Who gives a shit? But like he has that weird thing where he's like, it's they can't patent it and you don't make money off of it. Like
people absolutely make money off of it.
Yeah, eggs are also big business. Like egg producers are not like mom and pop small farmers. Like most of the food that is produced in the United States is in some way directly linked to like a big corporation.
There's also a point in this documentary where they talk about how men used to eat up to 36 raw eggs a day.
What was like, that?
Who and how?
Yeah.
And why would that be a good thing? And they're like, it's because cholesterol helps your testosterone.
Cholesterol's man juice.
What?
But then it's like, yeah, they have this whole thing about how like eggs are like forbidden knowledge. It's like, we used to eat eggs. Like we still eat eggs, man. You can go and get eggs.
Here's the thing that I realized while I was watching this specific segment of this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Every segment of this documentary to me is more morally reprehensible than any of the Pete Evans stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
The Pete Evans filmed stuff, not the Sonnenrad shit.
Yeah.
It's on the level of the Sonnenrad, right? It's on the level of the like, I am explicitly posting iconography from like fucking Nazi movements.
Well, what's interesting about this documentary is the Pete Evans stuff seems like it's designed to appeal to normies and kind of like trick them into this weird ideology.
Yeah, totally.
But this seems like it's mostly for people who are like bought in.
Yes, absolutely no question. Which is like part of the reason why these dots are not getting connected. It's part of the reason why you get all of this spliced together weird montage stuff and you're supposed to, I guess, draw a connection between Teddy Roosevelt protesters and Biden falling down a jetway.
I also love the thing of like, you're eating raw eggs? Like, why is that a better defense against the soy globalists than fucking cooking your eggs?
Because of Cool Hand Luke, Mike. That's why. It was in a movie, and he looked cool doing it.
Do you know the Great Reset thing, Aubrey, when he, like, mentions that?
No, they flashed something. I assume it has to do with the Great Replacement.
I think the right-wingers like it because it's, like, similar to the Great Replacement. I think they're like, ooh, they're admitting that they're doing the Great Replacement. Mm. But basically, the World Economic Forum, which is essentially just, like, a glorified country club for rich people. It has no actual power, right?
Uh-huh.
During COVID, they released a document that was like, here's how we think the world can bounce back from COVID. Like, the Great Reset. And it's all just the most anodyne, superficial, like World Economic Forum approved bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk to all stakeholders. It's like the kind of shit that I used to write for a living when I worked in human rights. Just like, Mike, make sure you don't say anything in this, right? It's just like a totally anodyne document. But these right wingers have like latched onto this as if like they're admitting it. They're admitting their plan for the world. But like the World Economic Forum doesn't have any power. They're not, no one is beholden to them. There's no like World Economic Forum jail that they can like send presidents to if they don't reset. But like it's very similar to this thing where the UN years ago had this thing called like Agenda 21, where like how the world is changing. And like, again, totally fucking anodyne, these like non-binding targets, whatever. Right wingers also latched onto that and were like, they admit they're moving toward the one world government. And like, as someone who did work for the UN for years, it's so adorable to me that they think the UN has any power whatsoever. I'm like, oh, sweetie, you think the UN like can make people do stuff? If the UN could make people do stuff, my career in human rights would have had like a single impact on the world.
So many things would be so different.
I also looked up this thing. I can't remember if he says it in the clip, but he does say it in this section of the documentary that like people who eat like high fat, high protein diets have like higher testosterone counts. This is actually true to the extent that we know about it. Like there's been various trials where they'll feed people different diets. And like, it is true that at the end of like 6 weeks or whatever, people who ate high fat diets have like higher testosterone. But according to the actual research on this, it appears that what's really going on is just like when you eat fewer calories, you produce less testosterone.
And fat is more caloric.
Yeah, like usually most people who are on a low-fat diet are like trying to lose weight for whatever reason. Yeah. And so when you eat fewer calories, you have less testosterone. So there's nothing like magical about protein. It could just be just eat more and you'll produce more testosterone.
They're trying to lash a set of scientific findings to this sort of very specific slice of hegemonic masculinity,
right?
Everything that you think of when you think of what it means to be manly is because of testosterone.
Yeah.
And if men don't have testosterone, then there are not men.
Right. Or something.
And that our society falls somehow.
Do we need to talk about the balls now? Do we need to talk about the red light balls?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, sure.
It really felt like they put this in almost like tongue in cheek. Because this was the part of the documentary that got the most attention, obviously. They're like these men sunning their balls or whatever. And there's this footage of the guy like standing in the middle of nowhere with this weird like 2001 style plinth that's irradiating his balls, which clearly is like set up. It's not UV rays. It's clearly something they did just for this, like to create a visual for this show. But like they play the 2001 music when they show it in the documentary, and they kind of... they're sort of doing it in a way that they're not really taking it seriously, but then they're like, we aren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, they have a whole thing where they're like, the science on red light is emerging, but it penetrates deeper into the body. And if you have red light on your fucking testicles, then you produce more testosterone. And I was just like, this is the most ridiculous shit.
Apparently, this whole thing is based on a study from 1939 on four... people.
Yeah, it's such utter garbage. And it's also one of those things where, like, again, they'll like flash a thing on the screen to be like, here's the study, right? Like they flash a little bit of the text from it.
Oh yeah, did you read this? I screened
I didn't. I didn't pause and read
it. Let me send it to you.
It says, summary: irradiation of the scrotum and its vicinity proves to be more effective than irradiation of other parts of the skin.
So this is what Tucker Carlson is presenting as like proof that like blasting your balls is good for your testosterone. But the sentence doesn't even say that. It just says that like irradiating the scrotum is more effective than irradiating other parts of the skin.
Like your hand or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
The very next sentence says, our experiments furnish no proof that the pituitary plays a primary role in the stimulation of increased androgenic activity.
So like in the fucking screen grab that they use as evidence in their own documentary, the sentence is like, man, we don't think this does anything.
Just like erase that last sentence. Just show us the first three.
I know.
Boy, oh boy.
So the whole, I mean, it does feel very perfunctory to like debunk this, because like obviously blasting your balls with red light does not like do anything. One of the other debunkers of this that I read had a very interesting paragraph about this. There was this is in a breakdown of this phenomenon that the author calls bromeopathy. Okay, so I'm going to send you this very interesting paragraph from this article on bromeopathy.
Quote, promoting a traditional view of masculinity comes with its own health risks. For example, studies have shown that people who view themselves as masculine are less likely to seek health-related help and are more likely to catch COVID, to have heart disease, and poorer cancer outcomes. They are also at increased risk for being lonely, having fewer friends, and experiencing other mental health challenges. For example, a study from 2021 found that, quote, higher conformity to masculine norms was associated with an increased risk of current depressive symptoms. Other research published in 2020 found a link between masculinity and suicidal ideation in boys and younger men. The authors of the study suggest that their work highlights, quote, the importance of presenting young males with alternative and multiple ways of being a male.
Yeah.
Yes.
This thing of like, we need to be men for our health. A lot of the traits of traditional masculinity are actually not health promoting. And it's actually like really important to talk about issues and like form intimate relationships that are not built around denigrating other people or other groups, right? And not inherently seeing the existence of other people as a threat, right? It's not good for you.
But Mike, if you just do what's good for you, who's gonna stand up to the soy globalists? So from here, do we go to Tiger Lily? Is that who comes up next?
Wait, do we do Tiger Lily first or do we do the fucking seed oils?
Oh, Jesus fucking
I was like,
Christ.
Oh, don't make me look into the fucking seed oils thing. There's like a whole big dumb section on how like seed oils are bad and like omega-6s, whatever. I Googled it to the extent that I was like, is there anything here? And then all the research was like, this is bullshit. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm not going to like get into details because like, of course it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, and then this is where we have the slow motion footage of them shooting bottles of vegetable oil with an AR-15.
It's the Kid Rock shooting Bud Light before Kid Rock
so
shot Bud Light.
Weird.
This whole thing of just like, I'm going to shoot things that I find objectionable is such a weird, like, draggy, campy trope.
Yeah.
This is like weird far right drag king shit.
It is also quite like homoerotic. There's a lot of like sort of semi gay stuff in here of like all these like sweaty men kind of like quasi wrestling.
Yeah, the number of slow motion shots of shirtless men in motion.
I don't like the trope that like every homophobe is like secretly gay. That's not true, but there were numerous sequences in this where I'm like, am I supposed to be getting turned on by this? Like, it kind of seems like you want me to get turned on. Yeah. All right, do you want to talk about Tiger Lily and how you can't even breastfeed anymore?
You can't even breastfeed
anymore,
Michael.
No one says that breastfeeding is good. It's a real problem.
So this is the one woman.
Yeah, that's true. It's the only woman in the whole documentary. Yeah.
She's there to deliver a message that's basically like, when we let men be men, we're also letting women be women.
Finally.
She has a whole story that is sort of a phenomenon that we've talked about many times on the show. We've talked about it with Goop stuff. We've talked about it with Moon Juice, where she's like, I had a thyroid condition. They wanted to put me on all these drugs. And I was like, I'm not going that route.
Right.
And she's got this footage of herself working out with a voiceover of her saying I was underweight. And then I like started paying attention to what I ate and started eating like organic food, which, as we've discussed before, usually just means, oh, you're eating more vegetables or you're eating more food in this case, potentially. Right. And she was like, I started to feel better. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. She at one point says, she's talking about like, we've demonized the natural way of eating, which like is not true because that's every company markets itself as like, we're natural, even though it's fucking
she
meaningless.
Hasn't even seen the ads for the farmer's dog.
Yeah.
Where they're like, feed your dog this fucking ground meat and vegetables and cook it in a pan for them every day.
But then she also at one point says, we've demonized natural birth control.
Yeah, we're doing the rhythm method. I think she's talking about the rhythm method. I'm not fucking kidding you.
I think we've demonized this because it doesn't work.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
This is another thing with right-wing rhetoric that it's not enough to just like make the argument for what they want you to do. They have to pretend that you're some sort of like a beleaguered minority of like no one wants you to breastfeed anymore. It's like, no, that's not under attack.
The soy globalists are trying to get you to buy their soy formula.
Yeah.
It's poison for your baby.
Then we get the one doctor who's in this Paul Turek guy.
Who runs like a men's health center in San Francisco and LA.
I was like, either this is like some deranged right winger or he's just like a well-meaning person who like didn't do enough background on like who's interviewing me for which documentary.
Right. The argument. Yes.
He also talks about how, you know, we follow kids through like age 16 because they have a pediatrician. And then after they're 16, we basically like let them loose and the healthcare system's all like fractured. And like, yes, but surely the solution to that would be some sort of socialized medicine.
Like, this is the same thing as you could hear at like a DSA meeting.
Again, it's like, what does Tucker Carlson actually want?
So the next section we get is this whole section where Tucker Carlson opens by saying, quote, No one in Washington seems to care about dropping testosterone levels. Just look at their reactions to a preview of this episode.
This was the weirdest Escher painting bullshit. He's in the documentary complaining about the reaction to the trailer for the documentary.
But he's saying no one in Washington. And then he shows us Stephen Colbert and Joanne Reed. Right? Like, normally when you say, like, people in Washington don't care, you're talking about Congress, you're talking about the Senate, you're talking about people in government positions, right? And then he shows, like, late night talk show host?
Yeah.
What does this say about anyone in Washington, super fucking weirdo? Then he says, quote, to like wrap up that section where he's been like showing clips of people making fun of his documentary, he says, I'm going to try and do a Tucker Carlson voice. We're going to see how it goes, because I think it works better if you've got his weird whiny nasal thing.
You have to do the face. You have to do his listening face.
The tiny mouth and the sincere eyebrows. If men want to stay male, they must be fascists and also gay. That's what the media tells you. If you care about your health, if you want to stay fit, you must be a right-wing extremist, because good people are fat and passive.
Yeah.
I was like, who is saying this?
Well, do you want to know who's saying it? I actually looked into this.
Oh my fucking God. Who, what?
As he's doing this bizarre monologue of like, they don't even want you to like, I don't know, work out and eat fruits and vegetables or something, he shows a screen grab of a website. Where the headline of the article is, Dear Men, Stop Working Out. It's like, okay, left-wing website, like the left-wingers are like telling you that like, as a man, you can't even work out.
It was like Slate or something, right?
No.
Where was it?
It was Open Feminism, which is very obviously a right-wing website set up to satirize left-wingers.
Good.
So this is like a genre of thing now that right-wing people will set up ostensibly left-wing websites that only exist to provide ammunition to these fucking right-wing freakouts that are like, the leftists want you to meh. So it's called Only Feminists. And like, if you go to the website, every single article is like this. So there's a video game called Elden Ring, and one of the sort of main stories on the site is called Elden Ring is sexist and should be boycotted. And it's this thing of like one of the later bosses in the game. She like, you beat her the first phase, and the second phase, she takes off all of her clothes and she has no nipples. This is this website pretending to be feminist, right? So it says,
yeah,
biologically, nipples were formed so that women could feed their children. The removal of them by Elden Ring developers is their way of purely sexualizing and objectifying breasts for the male fantasy. Breasts are not meant to be sexual or bring arousal.
What?
No feminine. What? It's very obviously
bullshit.
Fake. Yeah. The next article down is called Hating NFTs Makes You a Bigot. So like they're really, this is bait to internet men. I looked at like one of the quote unquote writers for this website on Twitter. Her like pinned post is like, I'm growing out my leg hair. One, her like other most recent tweet is about how in Barbie, the fake tan on Ken gets darker throughout the movie, and like that's racist.
Yeah.
So basically, as evidence for this thing of like the feminist SJWs don't want you to work out, Tucker Carlson is citing like an obvious right-wing op. Like it's probably written by his same fucking writers on his show.
Well, it's also fascinating because there is like a genuinely interesting connection between quote unquote physical culture, right? And like fascism and the far right.
Yeah.
And there's like really interesting history to plumb there. And that still doesn't amount to Dear Men, Stop Working Out.
Yeah, no.
Do you
one
know what I mean?
Cares.
Like, I'm like, no.
They again have to fabricate this threat, right? Like they don't want you to work out. And that's why it's so important. They don't care if you work out, man. No one is saying you're right wing. For working out. We're saying you're right wing for fucking shooting vegetable oil with a gun and filming it and having this weird like ideology of constant victimhood when you're just objectively not a victim.
If all of this weren't so chilling, it would be so fucking funny.
Bugs me so much.
If men want to stay male, they must be fascists and also gay.
I know. Look, we are recruiting you. We're just not recruiting you through gyms. All right, we're recruiting you on Instagram, on your For You page.
This entire documentary has these montages, and if I recall correctly, it finishes with one of those montages, right? Mm-hmm. That is like a fucking tone poem.
Yeah, the whole thing is a fucking tone poem.
It is a far-right fever dream. There are fat people and gay people and Jewish people are trying to put you in a pod with tofu.
Yeah.
Right, like, it is this utterly bonkers sort of free association, just like list of grievances is really what it appears to be. And it's tying all of that to testosterone levels in an absolutely bonkers way as a way to use sort of the idea of science as a legitimating force, right? To make this like a real concern that needs to be top of mind. And men gotta start doing cold plunges. God, the number of slow motion cold plunges.
Yeah, Lordy. That was also like weird.
We're just getting a little Wim Hof thrown in there. Yeah.
I also think it's easy to dunk on these things and there is something like genuinely like kind of funny about it, but one of the things that is really kind of striking and scary to me is that like Tucker Carlson was the most popular cable news host in America for many years.
And he doesn't just save this shit for his paywalled documentaries.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like this is the shit he's doing or was doing every fucking night.
I mean, as opposed to previous bonus episodes that we've done, this isn't just us dunking on like a totally obscure thing that has like no cultural influence. I think that—
Wow, what a subtweet of my diet books. I know,
we're subtweeting our own show. As opposed to other bonus episodes that are totally useless. I think that's why this one's like less fun is because like this one actually kind of fucking matters. One of the things I kept thinking about this was like there's been this slow frog boiling normalization of like essentially neo-Nazi rhetoric.
Yeah. Yes,
throughout
correct.
The culture. I feel like a lot of the things we're awash in now, especially like bizarre race and IQ shit.
Yeah.
There was a time when this would have just been immediately disqualifying. I'm just like, oh, this person's flirting with this like 100-year-old debunked nonsense. Like, fuck this guy. But it's gotten so normalized that we've heard it so many times that as soon as we get used to it, then they push the line a little bit more. And like that process has been going on for long enough now that we now have like pretty open white supremacists just like operating freely and like no one pushing back. And the minute anyone says like, hey, there are ideas that are just not welcome in a civilized society, you get this tedious, like, wow, that's cancel culture counter argument. But this stuff is really dangerous and it's everywhere. And it is like it's not the gays and the trans that are recruiting people. It's like the fucking neo-Nazis that are recruiting people and they're recruiting people with this stuff.
Yeah. And there's like, listen, they do it through this stuff. They do it through health and wellness stuff. They had an extreme heyday over the last 10 years, say, over pumping up anti-immigrant sentiment and using that as an entry point into straight up organized white supremacist movements, right? Like they have these sort of ways in and there is a lot of, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile happening here, you know? That is like, you can't even let it in the door. It is so gnarly and terrible and dark. And that's why I had to get high.
That's why you've been high this whole time. I can tell.